The Nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Yes, we're back on the radio now. Second part of Dailies Today, live from our studios here on Victoria Island. Although they say on the island, that's what they usually say, on the island. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
And I'm Jimmy Disso. Good morning.
We have the papers ready. You can watch us live on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3 is how you can watch live. So let's start with Daily Trust.
Let me just say good morning to you, Sheriff. Good morning.
You said...
I'm just polite, my upbringing, my kid.
You know downstairs, I said good morning.
To who?
To you.
That was from a distance, but this one is close. It's a good morning.
That's
good.
And outside the studio there, I still said good morning.
And I'm saying my own.
Okay, it's never too much. It's never too much. Good morning to you too, sir. How was your night?
That is one sentence I hate. How was your night? How is the night supposed to be?
No, some people have rough nights.
Yeah, but even if I have a rough night, it's my business. Why? I don't see it as being polite asking, how was your night?
I think it's...
I'm going to do a program on telephone etiquette.
Yeah.
How you don't intrude into people's privacy. When you think you're doing...
Trying to be nice.
Yes, sending prayers to people, happy new month, how was your night? Sometimes you want to ask somebody a very simple question. You first of all say, good morning, sir. You answer, okay, yes. How was your night? You're wasting the person's time. So that was my night. My night is fine. If it wasn't fine, what are you going to do about it?
I'll say sorry.
I'm like, let's go. let's go.
Let's start. Page 20. I hate those things. Page 20 reads... drug dealer nabbed. No, that's not it. Let's take this one here.
Is this one?
My husband hates me for giving birth to three girls.
Okay, you took it from the bottom.
Housewife. No, okay, this is the first one.
This is the first one.
Oh, okay. All right.
You took it from the bottom.
Okay.
He turned the pile upside down.
Let's take it from the top. Let's take it from the top.
Yes.
I don't owe you. Lobby me to pay Tinubu. Tinubu tells Wiki.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. Now, this... I took time to study this, and this is my submission. One, Tinubu is very, very likely going to change a lot of things and perceptions around. Just before we came in, Sheriff and I were talking about this idea of federal roads, who should be paying for what. And I'm not quite clear what the law says or the Constitution says about it, but rather the convention. And I think there's a need for us to have a definite position, because he says to him that... the road is in your state. So this idea of distinguishing between federal road and the road you did it for your people, it's in your state. You should carry the can. Okay, so a lot of things are likely to change with this gentleman in the driver's seat. This idea of accumulating bills and passing it on, to the federal government at a cost at which the federal government cannot even determine whether it was a good price. It just tells the federal government, we did this road, it's $200 billion, you're owing us. I think a lot of that might change, and advocates of true federalism might have a very strong advocate in the incoming president. As to the other joke about lobbying me to pay, Achiwaju Tinubu, please realize that is now an incoming president, these things can easily be misinterpreted. This kind of attitude got us into problem in the military era with footballer, where it was said that the cabinet, it was said that at that time, at whether it's PRC meeting or whatever they had, one minister complained that he hadn't gotten his money, and the president jokingly said, well, go and settle him. And since then, a new culture came where to even get the budget for your ministry, you have to settle the officials. The president-elect needs to, and I don't mean it with any insult or whatever, but that's the truth. He needs to go through a crash program in his public men. He's a president now. He's no longer Tinubu, Achiwaju, that people pull drag here and there. He's president, and therefore what we expect is that he should be presidential. He said this probably in good humor, okay? But these things, you need to be extremely careful and not misinterpreted, and people don't misunderstand the signals. We don't want to go back to that. Did you ever leave it?
Yeah.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure we left it. Things have gotten so bad in Nigeria that if you ask for direction, the man still lingers. If I'm going to number 22 Karimu Street. The guy is still lingering. After he tells you to Egbabi, by take first and take next left, he's still lingering as to what is in it for me. These are the kind of things we'd like to erase from our policy. But all said and done, Wike had his day, Tinubu had his day, and hopefully the shop owners can open their shops today and everybody can go back to his business. The question also again is, what is in it? What does Wike want? I was arguing with Sheriff. I said, I think he wants a ministerial position, you know, because, and that, but Sheriff believes he's on his way to the APC.
Why are you speaking? I'm reporting
what we said.
Sheriff
believes.
Let's just talk about what you think.
Sheriff believes.
What do you think about this situation?
Sheriff
do
believes.
You think, why are you saying Sheriff, what I believe?
Sheriff believes that he's on his way to the APC, and that Wike will always get what he wants. He told me that and was actually nodding his head affirmatively. So would Wike get what do you think Wike wants? Let's meet at 9 o'clock. We have open mic and let's look at the issue of Wike and makes an interesting subject. So we have something to discuss at 9. So you are going to say something.
You have succeeded.
But jokes apart, let's look at it quite. What does Wike want?
I think his positioning. I think he will join APC.
But isn't this an overkill? Even telling people not to open their shops and this and that. Isn't this an overkill?
Maybe. But you know how we play politics. We play to the gallery a lot. We can sacrifice
anything just to
look appealing. Exactly.
Yes.
So that's what I think he's doing. And I think also that APC would want to capture River State again.
Do you think he would leave PDP?
As it is going.
Yes, he might. But where does that put Amechi? Amechi is here now. Amechi has one leg out of APC.
Yeah.
And his two hands out of PDP. So he's standing on one leg.
I think that he got the game wrong. The moment he lost the primaries, he should have realigned. He should have reassessed his options. He should have approached the winner of the primaries, even though it's a party thing, right? And it's not the first time, you know, you feel aggrieved as a politician when things don't go your way in your own party. Well, he refused to do that.
Also, when you know what you had done in the past. Yes. You know what, he knows what he has done in the past. It's not easy to become a two-time governor. It's not a Tea Party.
He also should have taken into cognizance the state of APC in his own state, because there were a lot of people who felt aggrieved by the way he handled things.
Yes,
you know, in his own state, and people left his party. He should have known that. Look, things are not even, you know. Yeah.
Do you think he can go to Labour?
I don't. Politicians can be very unpredictable. They can be very, very unpredictable.
Well, if he doesn't go to Labour, he can go to ABGA.
He can still even stay in the APC. He will just make, if anybody is trying to make any funny movie, Wike is trying to...
Unless Tinubu has a forgiving heart, he will decimate him. You know, Tinubu is ferocious politically.
Yeah.
It's part of what we should look at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wike and Amechi cannot both be in APC. It's going to be very tough. But then again, politicians are funny. They might reconcile.
Come on, Legon.
Now, you talk about minister. Do you want a minister who's drinking whiskey at 11 a.m.?
Don't they all do that? At least those that drink.
Even those who don't drink self, you know, I was going to come after.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's leave that. It's not. Second base.
Yes, second base. Let's go to Vanguard. Police to demolish 25 barracks in Lagos.
Well, when I saw this story, I didn't know whether to dance or whatever. Finally, they're going to get a reprieve. But this is, I don't like the headline of this story. Instead of, I would have loved the story that says to rebuild the barracks. What you have said is just they want to demolish. Let's see the story here.
Yeah.
It says the Lagos State Police Command says it intends to demolish 25 barracks in Lagos because the structures failed the structural integrity test. The affected barracks, so over 2,000 policemen and members of the families have been informed to evacuate the barracks. It doesn't say to where.
Hmm.
Okay, the affected barracks include, if you be police, make you listen now. We could listen very well. It includes Ije Police Barracks, Obalende Police Barracks, Highway Police Barracks, Ikeja K9 Police Barracks, Kefi Streets, Southwest Ikoyi, Falomo Police Barracks A and B. That's the one I went the other day. Mm. Inside the barracks looked like a market.
Mm.
Yes. Bar Beach Police Barracks, Victoria. Mopole 20 Barracks, Ikeja. Women Police Barracks, Obalende. Mopole 2 Police Barracks, Kefi Street, Southwest Ikoyi. Mounted Troop, Ribadu Road, Ikoyi. And if you go to move those ones, you have to also move their horses.
Mm.
Queen Barracks, Apapa. Others are FPRO Annex and Barracks, Ijora Olokpa. Ikmori Police Barracks, Uleri, Adekunle Police Barracks. Almost all the barracks. Bodilon and so on. Onikon Officers Mess is also going down. I think Mr. Adejobi needs to be invited here to give us an insight into what exactly is going on. And this is what Adejobi said. This is the first PRO. He said that the Inspector General of Police has issued a directive that those living in these barracks be issued, hold on, if you are at home and you are affected, listen, should be issued a 1 month notice to vacate the accommodation space. 1 month notice. Now, it doesn't say that you've provided an alternative to them. I hope that. Otherwise, now they'll be looking for rent to go rent a place within a month. 1 month notice. Though he says the directive will not be carried out all at once, but will be implemented gradually in phased stages to ensure that the officially recognized and lawful residents of the affected barracks are properly catered for. It would be nice if Mr. Adejobi in this release said that they should be ready to vacate, to be moved to another location rather than leave it hanging. You know, sometimes these PR jobs can be very difficult. You should be saying at this minute that alternative whatever has been provided for them. Otherwise, how do you process this that you give in Lagos, so you give somebody 1 month.
To move where?
To move his family. For that 1 month, I'm not going to come out. I won't drive on the Lagos roads. Be vicious. I'm already a man. I'll be looking. For that 1 month. All right. That's the other one.
Let's take our second story. Before we do that, let me take this comment here on Facebook. Gbolan says, police authority is spot on demolishing dilapidated police barracks before tragedy occurs. Even at that, the victim must be provided alternative and or monetized accommodation. That's what Gbolan said. Let's take our second story from this same page, page six of the Vanguard. Why Africans must write their history. Oh, ni. Jamaican envoy.
Well, the two of them probably, maybe it's just rhetoric off the top of their head. But the truth is that one of the greatest disasters that befell Africans, apart from slavery, is where somebody else has been writing your own history. And therefore, we don't have a sense of belonging. You remember we spoke about this about 6-7 months ago, about how Africans don't value ourselves. You know, there was a time, for example, they were chasing us, that they were banning Ogogoro, but telling us to drink schnapps. Did you understand what I'm saying? What's the difference between any of these genes and so? So many things. Thank God to fella Nicola Kukuti, very early in life, some of us knew that we should take it with a pinch of salt. When you read in the history book that it says Mungo Park discovered River Niger, but there are no people there. And yet you write exam. Who discovered River Niger? Yeah, I, sir. Mungo Park, or Park Mungo. Did he not meet people on the ground? maybe he was running somewhere in the bush. Somebody said that. He says, I want to wash my feet. I don't know how he would have said it. The point that now says he names it River Niger, and then he says that Mungo Park discovered River. So many things. so many things. I posted something on, I think it's on my Facebook or so, the Tanzanian president, where he was telling the Western world, we don't need aid. We're tired of aid. What we need is mutual respect, mutual business relations. Africans need to shape up. That is why Africans must be sure that they have patriotic leaders, not those who will send you to the cleaners and then take all your resources and put it at the disposal of the Western world. I respect the Western world. They know what they are doing. We are the ones who don't know what we are doing. Okay, so I'm supplying you vehicles. You truly want me to give you the technology to produce the vehicles? If you do that, who's going to buy from me? We need to think. Africans need to think across the board. I remember what the president of Rwanda,
Paul Kagame,
he said that at one forum that every time there's a crisis, these people invite us when we should be sitting amongst ourselves. What's wrong with Africans? The same thing is happening with this LGBT, whatever it is. You want to force it down some country's throat. And I'm glad Obasanjo just stood up to them and said, no, it's not part of our culture. Mm. Uganda too.
Jonathan did same.
And according to the Ugandan president, even heterosexual sexual relationships are kept in private.
Let alone...
Well, to some extent, these days, I don't know anymore. Because some of the Western values will kill us as a people. It's against our culture, it's against our norms, it's against our religion. Once something is against all those, your body cannot stabilize. Different strokes for different folks. So Africans, we need to sharpen up. I also remember the speech made by the president of Ghana. You know, before you know it, they will assemble all of you to go for one African something summit, put you in a hall, put your leaders in the best hotels and whatever, and come and plumage your resources. We must put an end to that. It's time. We need to have knowledgeable leaders who don't have a complex for complexions in the first instance. I like that sentence. Who don't have a complex for complexion. One day I saw one Oyibo man at Mega, he was talking to some first guy. Master, what are you getting done here? Nigerian policeman. Master, who is your master? It's part of the police force we even have now is a reflection of our past. Mm-hmm. Beat the natives into line. You know, rather than offer service, be helpful to the people, is to whip them into line. You know, I think the awareness is coming bit by bit. Let's hear what the Oni said. The Oni said that it is time for Africans to write the history of their race and people to correct some erroneous impressions created. The unfortunate thing about Africans is that everything in Africa is hidden. We don't believe in passing. We don't believe in passing things on to the other. You know, we don't believe in continuity. By nature, we're selfish. We like to be the only ones who have power in the village. And you can see what happens. You have a traditional ruler, he's driving a Rolls Royce in an untarred area. The people are suffering, and he's happy to do that. If we don't have a complete renaissance, a complete new thinking, Africa is not going to go anywhere. I don't want to use the words of our incoming president. You know, but if you are not careful, you are wondering what that is. When they say some people will labor in vain. We need to tidy up. In all honesty, we need to tidy up.
I mean, incidentally, that is what I'll be speaking on Monday for 2 hours.
Oh, that's good.
Because I came across this work on Instagram of someone who used AI, you know, to talk about Africans and our challenges, about how Africans have the religious texts, you know, written in all of their languages. But when it comes to education, the textbooks, you cannot find any in traditional African languages.
The first thing we need to work on is our attitude. And that's why there should be a focus on the younger generation. The younger generation, they are more confident. We, our own generation, were whipped into line. We believe that anything we both say is incorrect. Fortunately, with the generation of our children, that is being wiped out. They go to school, they're educated. Africa has everything that it takes, education or whatever. But this, and that is why you will find an African naming a generator, I better pass my neighbor. That's the attitude of the African. Yes, I better pass my neighbor. Africans have a competitive spirit in the wrong direction. You understand? An African man doesn't want to be rich. He wants his neighbor to know that you must know me. And he wants to show everybody that, yes.
I've arrived.
And the same thing happened. All the powers that Africans had, all the powers that Africans would have been involved in planes and whatever long before.
True that.
People who had it, we call them witches. You know, because it is said that in some areas that Africans were going on astral traveling. They said they got to a land where everybody was white. One knowing, where did you see white people? And then people die with that knowledge. There's no formal way of passing on the knowledge. And we've lost it. Colonialism now even wrecks whatever is left of it. I advise you any day you go to Ghana, you should go to Elmina Castle. I'll be going there next month again. I saw the video of Kamala Harris, the American vice president. She broke down completely. Then you will know what our people went through. The day I went, I won't say the company of who I went because
it's okay, it's okay.
But the day I went, it's like they escorted me to the car.
Wow.
You need to know what it. Just this morning I was talking to somebody in the East. You know, and we were talking about, she's a widow. We were talking to our friend's mom. She's a widow. And I was trying to explain to her why she was praying that her children can go abroad. And I said, no. Rather, you should be praying that what God has designed for them, but that is not automatic. It's not El Dorado. It's not automatic. People must understand that God has created a path for everybody. It might not necessarily be the way you want. So this idea that whatever we both does is right and whatever we do is wrong, no. But if we don't, and unfortunately our leaders have betrayed us and continue to betray us.
Are still doing it.
You will go and get loans and loans and loans and loans and loans, and then somebody would pack everything and take it back to their bank. So it's like I come to your house, your son. I come to borrow money from you. Your son comes to my house, takes it from my drawer, takes it back and puts it in your own drawer. But technically, I'm still owing you. No, don't let me use your son. Who can we use? Let's hire somebody.
Let's think about it. Let's take this last story while we think about
it. That's one of the members of Femi and the gang. Let's use Femi.
Let's take our last story. Ekwere Madu's, not too late for Nigerian government to act.
Listen. I want us to listen and listen good. A crime has been committed and the man has been found guilty. Not one person has ever thought about what is going to happen to that young man, of whether he's 21 or whatever his age is. He's the one that is most bruised in all this now. Has anybody ever thought of that? And then I'm asking myself, okay, is it because he's a former Senate leader, that's why all this fuss is being made? People face trials every day and are sentenced. I mean, we are now even writing an editorial. And this editorial says that it's not too late for government. What do you want the government to do? To intervene in the course of justice? That justice is also fighting for a fellow Nigerian. If Ekwere Madu had not been a Nigerian, and the boy is a Nigerian, we should be fighting also that justice that there should be justice, because that boy has been badly treated. Let's get these things very, very clear. I'm sorry for him and I'm sorry for the circumstances, but for me, a life is a life. Whether it's the life of the boy or his daughter or whatever. If he thought back well enough, there are other ways this thing could have been done without tricking a boy all the way to the UK. During the trial, it was shown that he never even met the boy. And I'm not too happy that the Vanguard will be writing an editorial and calling on the government to act. It's not a political crime. It's not for espionage or whatever. This is a personal crime. And he's a lawyer that should have been avoided. Yes, I can make a plea on his behalf, but don't let's overdo it. Because the next thing that happens now, some people will be saying that the federal government did not apply.
I've already started seeing that, yeah.
I've
started seeing that.
Next thing that they say, okay, it's because it's from the southeast. No.
I've started seeing
this crime was committed in his personal capacity. He's a lawyer who should know. And yes, whilst I plead mercy for him, but we should also remember that the person affected by this matter is the innocent child that was picked from pushing his cart in Lagos to the UK. I believe very strongly that boy was not told the full circumstances of what he was going to do. To take a kidney of a 21-year-old boy? I mean, let's get real and let's get unduly sentimental. If he wasn't a Senate, former Deputy President of the Senate, would all this, if it was a Jimmy Disu, would anybody be asking government to this thing? Why not Lord Elumunye, no? So that God catch him. So let's get real. And I don't support this editorial at all. You can plead all you want. Obasanjo has written a letter, fair enough. Letters to lighten his sentence.
The Senate ECOWAS.
But don't let's push the federal government. There are so many things. The federal government has to take care of 200 million people. 200. We haven't finished evacuating our citizens in Sudan. Okay, let's go.
We have to go now. Thank you, sir. That's our show. He'll be back at 9 for Daily Digest. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.